Please open in your Bibles to 1 John, 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. If you're following along in one of the provided Bibles, you can find that on page 1220. 1220. Let us now hear God's holy word. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming. And now it is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from us, or not from God, does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So far, our reading in God's holy word. Let us take a moment of prayer. Gracious God and merciful Father, we need a spirit of discernment. A spirit that is able to see what you have taught us in your word. And so, Lord, would you illumine our hearts and our minds by giving us a great measure of your spirit, that we may see Christ and all his work and the truth that is found in him and in believing in his name. This we pray in Jesus' name alone. Amen. Beloved people of God, a young woman I knew in America had a uncle who had came up to her and made a prophecy about her. He told her that she would never get married, but that she would do great things for the Lord. When someone speaks in such a way and prophesies over someone, they are claiming to speak from the Spirit, to speak on God's behalf, the truth. Yet strangely enough, this woman is married now, and even though she does great things for the Lord, I don't think it was probably the way the uncle had intended in his prophecy. The issue at hand in our day, even as is in John's day, is how do we know when someone speaks for the Lord? How do we know when someone is speaking from the Spirit? And so John calls the church to have discernment. He wants them to test what is being said. So don't look at whether this Christian group that has left is whether they call themselves Christians, or whether they claim to know God, or whether they claim to have special revelation from God, or even if they claim to have a special anointing. But no matter what, you test what is being said according to the ways that I have taught you and trained you in this letter. Does it match with what we have taught you from the beginning? That is the question that's before us. Are you able to discern that which comes from God? Are you able to discern what comes from the Antichrist? Are you able to divide between truth and error, what is Christian and what is non-Christian? John says that believers have all that they need to discern the truth. They are able to discern the truth from a lie. And so he points out that there is only one Spirit. One Spirit that teaches rightly, that teaches and directs us to Jesus Christ, who came in the flesh. That we must believe in His name. And so that's our theme this morning, that John calls the church to discern the spirit of truth from the spirit of the Antichrist. And we need to look at this in three points. We'll see, first of all, that call to discern the spirits and the reason why. Second of all, we will look at the criterion, the measure, you might say, in which we use to discern the spirits. And finally, we will see the comforting contrast that he gives to help us know that we have the Spirit. And so John starts off by telling the church not to be gullible. How many of you know what gullible is? I remember that me and my friends played a lot, on my gullibility. And sometimes I would often take that on myself. And it's quite interesting how quickly people believe you if you are just confident enough. There were times that I would just quickly tell a lie and people would believe me. An example of would be something like us driving past Mount Reapehu and somebody asking, you know, how tall is Mount Reapehu? And it's, oh, about 10,983. Now, if you say it confidently enough, they might believe you. But Everest is only somewhere around 8,000 meters above sea level. And just a heads up to you catechism students, I have at least one time gone into class after you have done the lesson, and I just begin teaching you exactly opposite of what is in the lesson. The reason I do these things is because we are called to be people of discernment. Merely even just me being up here does not mean that you accept all things wholesale. We need to test what is being said, test the spirit from which it comes from. John tells them, just because someone is claiming to have the Spirit of God and to be speaking from the Spirit of God does not mean that you accept what is being said. Don't be gullible. Don't believe everything you hear. And here's the reason why. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. John has already said that we are in that last hour and the spirit of the Antichrist is here. That spirit is out there teaching. It can even infiltrate the so-called church. And so the reason that they need to be discerning is because opposition is in the world. And this opposition is not a small thing. It is not a small thing to reject what is being taught here. Even if it sounds quite good, a slight twisting of the truth, or just a different perspective, you might say, or a different paradigm from what you've traditionally believed this means, you can still sound quite good. And that's why Jesus warned, beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but are inwardly ravenous wolves. Did you hear that? They look, act, and talk, at least in some measure, in ways that seem quite Christian, but something's not quite right. In America, probably one of the most harmful campaigns that was run on TV in the early 90s was this thing called Stranger Danger. The reason it was harmful was because of two things. First of all, it had people believe that kidnappings were mostly done by strangers, when most of them are done by friends or family. Secondly, often predators were portrayed as very creepy. They were the shady guy off in the alley somewhere. And so the kids were to look out for those that were dark and creepy, not the friendly person. But Jesus has said that the false prophets are going to look quite innocent. They're going to look like sheep, quite innocent, quite nice. False prophets, false apostles will look quite nice. In fact, many years ago, people were duped by a really charismatic preacher named Rob Bell. He was one of those guys who was great in the sense of he was so loving and kind, and he just had such a wonderful message. He would preach directly from the Bible, and everything seemed to really sound great. I mean, who wouldn't want to have a message such as love wins? Even I went to one of his services and walked away thinking, wow, that's pretty good. I really enjoyed that. Youth groups began using his Bible studies, but very soon, people began to recognize that he treated the Bible more like a fairy tale, that has a lot of good lessons in which to show how you ought to love one another. And he believed that Jesus was merely an example of love for us to follow, that the Bible wasn't necessary even for the Bible to be true and historically accurate, because then, well, we don't need to argue over these things. We can just look at the message of love that it gives. Doesn't that sound like a great message? But in Acts, Paul rebukes the church of Corinth for putting up with such false prophets and false apostles. He says in 2 Corinthians 11, "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light." Beloved people of God, this call to discernment is not to be taken lightly. Satan's attacks are often disguised in quite innocent and harmless language. Seems really easy to take on. And so, is this something that you are concerned about? Do you merely listen to me because I am supposed to be an authority? See, what isn't important is how engaging I am, how winsome my message sounds, whether my message is positive enough for you, because there were lots of prophets saying, "Peace, peace," when there was no peace. And every teaching has a spirit behind it. And it will either be a spirit of God which will draw you into fellowship with God, that you may dwell with him in the light and in fellowship with others and live in joy, or it will be a spirit that draws you into even deeper darkness in fellowship and in love with the world. And so John says, don't be gullible. Watch out. Discern what is coming from God and what is coming from the Antichrist. Even when things are put under the Reformed label, we need to be discerning, because Satan will use everything he can to attack. So, we see why he has called us to be discerning. But how are we to discern? By what measure? What are we supposed to use to know whether these things are true or not? Well, in John's day, and the trouble that John was facing was that there were those who were claiming to have this special anointing of the Spirit. There were those special gifts of prophets and apostles that spoke the truth. But, he says, even those who claim to have the Spirit of God you need to test, because you will know the Spirit of God, that every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. This is the measure. This is the standard. It's rooted in Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And does that merely mean that John is saying, well, you just have to believe some label, Jesus Christ? No, John has been teaching what it means that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, that he has come as the propitiation for our sins, that he has come to deliver us from our sins. That he is not some mere example, but he has come in the flesh to take our place. And the name of the Son of God has more to do with just believing some label. And so John draws us away from the Spirit and towards Christ. And so the question isn't whether they display these gifts of the Spirit or have strong signs of anointing from God, that they can do these signs and wonders. The question is, do they teach that Christ came in the flesh? Do they draw you unto Christ and fellowship with him? Now often the Reformed are called nitpicky for their doctrines. What seems to be little in certain people's minds are often held dearly by the Reformed faith. For example, there were those who sought to have great unity with the churches far and wide, including the Catholic Church, that we could join with them, because we could still confess together that we were saved through faith, that we both could confess that truth, right? However, in the Reformation, the fight was over one additional word. The confession is that we are saved through faith alone. Not faith and works, as others would call it. So exactly who Christ is very important. And in fact, the doctrine of this was fought over even before the Reformation, and one might even call that a really nitpicky conversation, because it wasn't over one word, but over one letter. There was a great schism over one letter on who Christ was, and whether he was simply seemed like God, or whether he was God. Was he truly God who came in the flesh? And truly man, there is a razor's edge of difference in that one letter. See, we need to confess that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. Now, John has used Jesus Christ as his kind of standard. And we also recognize that John described Jesus as the Word which became flesh in John 1:1. That he is the revelation and the fullness of God and fellowship with him. But John also goes on to say that those who listen to us have fellowship with God. See, we ought to be very thankful that we have the Word of God inscripturated. We have this canon which is closed, whereas they did not. We have the teachings of the church in His Word. And we have where they had all sorts of gifts of the Spirit and prophecy, there was not yet a written and collected Word of God. But now we have that great teaching. That great teaching that from beginning to end, from Genesis to Revelation, points us to the salvation we can find in Jesus Christ and the great God who has saved us. And so we ought to use the Word of God as our measure, because in it, it shows us Christ. That Christ came from heaven down to earth, put on human flesh, became fully God and fully man, or became fully man. And we then know what He has done for us in history, as He has bore the wrath of God, that we might have eternal life. So, how then do we know that we have eternal life? How then do we know that we have the Spirit of God in us and that we can discern? Well, John gives us this comforting contrast, which is our third point. He who knows God listens to us, he says. That these apostles, these witnesses, those who heard the teachings of Jesus Christ, who saw Jesus Christ die on the cross and be resurrected and come and amongst them even after the resurrection and show them himself. They have written and shown us Christ. And if we listen to that word, if we listen to that truth, if we understand it and we don't call it a bunch of hogwash, that's not for me, then we can know that we have the Spirit that gives us that discerning. Notice, I don't know if you noticed last week, did you notice the difference in verse 23 that he made? That instead of calling us to love God and love our neighbor, he says this. This is his commandment, that we believe in the name of the Son of Jesus Christ and love one another. We know that God abides in us when we believe in Jesus Christ in all his fullness. And we can tell a truth from a lie because we have the Spirit which teaches us and helps us listen to what is right and what is good and which comes from the Word. And so do not be fooled by sincerity as a measure. Do not be fooled by those who are winsome. But know what is right and true because it is founded in Jesus Christ. And so in conclusion, people of God, God has shown us a great need for discernment because of the danger of false prophets. Yet he also teaches us that there is no reason to fear these false prophets, that we have overcome the world, that we are united and abide in him as we celebrate this morning in the Lord's table, that we are united and abide with one another in him, and that we hold fast to the teaching of the apostles given to us in the Word. And that is what is signed and sealed to us in the Lord's Supper, which we are about to take. And so we do not need to fear those who are in the world. We do not need to fear that they will dupe us or trick us or that we are somehow led astray, but that we need to look at Jesus and learn from him and grow in that Word of God that became flesh and has been portrayed to us in his Scripture. And he has conquered the world, and we will overcome with him. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God and merciful Father, may you help us to be in that Word, knowing who you are and what you have done for us in Jesus Christ, that we may have fellowship with you through Jesus Christ because we believe in him and we know him. And so, Lord, may you continue to help us to grow in our knowledge of you, that we would have understanding and be able to discern the truth from a lie, that we would know the Spirit of God and its teaching from the spirit of error, which comes from the Antichrist. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.